in the New Testament. It's usually referred to as the Hall of Fame of Faith. It's from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Jim Acker is going to come and read this passage for us. Listen, some very fantastic, powerful phrases in this passage. Jim?
Good morning. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as the one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become the father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death.
Thank you, Jim. Powerful passage, isn't it? Abraham left for a land, didn't even know where he was going. Well, what did you ask for Christmas? You don't have to answer that. I didn't ask for anything. Connie and I kind of got this thing going for years now that we never buy each other anything. But it always happens that we do. But can you imagine if I bought Connie a mop and a bucket and she wanted diamonds? Now, those of you, you know, I've been here long enough that you know some of my secrets, and that is Connie likes diamonds. And if you see her after the worship service, she has a beautiful pearl with diamonds and gold. Guess who bought that for her? Yeah, I did. I did. Because I know that's what she likes. But if she'd have said to her, what would you like? And she would say, diamonds or gold. And I bought her a mop and a bucket. I hope none of you guys have ever bought your wife a vacuum cleaner or a mop and a bucket, you know. Don't admit it if you did. But the point is, you want to buy your spouse or your girlfriend, your boyfriend, something that they really want. What does God want of us? What does God want of us? The answer to that, very seriously, is determined by our approach to that question. A man-centered approach is, I give to God what I think he wants, a mop and a bucket, instead of the diamonds that he might really want. A God-centered approach is, I give him what he really wants. What does God want? Well, certainly he wants repentance. I'm not going to speak on repentance today. He wants obedience. He wants worship. And God wants faith. God wants faith. And that's going to be our focus today. That is our theme, what God wants. God wants faith. Hebrews 11, this very powerful passage. Some people think the Apostle Paul might have written Hebrews. There's debate about the authorship of it. I kind of lean towards Apollos, but that's a theological debate if you want to get into that. But the writer here teaches us some fantastic things about faith. And I want to kind of put a handle on it so that we can come to grips with it and then apply it in our personal lives. I'm going to break it down into God wants five levels of faith. Five levels of faith that we find here in Hebrews 11. Begins with this phrase, without faith it is impossible to please God. I mean, let that really touch your life. That without faith it is impossible to please God. Is there anyone here that does not want to please God? See, I doubt that would happen on a Sunday morning in a church, in a Bible-based, Christ-centered church. I doubt that, but it's certainly possible. So I want to look at these dynamic, practical levels of faith, five levels of faith that God wants. Each one, for me, someday might be a chapter in a book that I might write. Each one is a sermon in and of itself. But there are five levels of faith that God wants of us. Not the mop and bucket approach. I think this is what God wants. No, this is what he wants. So the first foundational, or the first level of faith is foundational faith. And I'm going to explain these and take a few moments to touch on them and kind of unpack them. Verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's a powerful phrase. The word anyone here is directed to all of us. Every person, foundational to any kind of relationship to God, is our basic belief that he exists. I hope you believe in the existence of God. And again, who in the world would take time on a Sunday morning and walk into a church building and sing songs and do it on the premise that I don't believe in God? I mean, what a waste of time in a one sense, but not in a real sense. Because God has established today as a divine appointment, if that happens to be you. God is Alpha and Omega. He always exists. Now, you try to wrap your head around this, and I don't particularly like that phrase, wrap your head around it, and I can't even wrap my head around the phrase, you know, wrap your head around it, but you know what, you know what I'm saying. Can you imagine that before anything, there was nothing? But actually, there never was nothing, because there always was something. I mean, wrestle with that. Before there was anything, there always was something. God always was there. He is the Alpha. He's the beginning and the end. Amen. So before we could even comprehend anything in our space-time continuum, there always was something. And then really push it, you know, like go out to space. When I was in the Navy, and before I got out of the Navy and before I became a Christian, I wanted to get into space communication. I was really interested in that. And God said he had other plans, and here I am at Edinburgh Road Chapel. But you begin to think about space, and you go out to, man, I'm going in space, and I keep going, and we're out there, we're way out there, and we come to the end. But when you come to the end, what's past the end? There's more end. It never ends. God is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So foundational faith says, I believe in God's existence and that God has chosen to reveal himself to me and to us. What that does is that it takes us to a theistic or a God-centered worldview. Do you believe in God's existence and that he has, by his own choice, chosen to reveal himself to us, to reveal himself to you? He has. Because the moment you say there is a God, there is a master designer, he can do anything. And he can choose to reveal himself to you as he did to me. And I share this from time to time. On that February 21st day, 1968, laying on the ground under my car in Pensacola, Florida, God spoke to me audibly and said that he was real and said that I needed Jesus. He's real. See, nobody can convince me otherwise, because God chose to reveal himself to me. And I've shared my story of my middle brother, Ron, who died a year and a half ago, who had become an agnostic, didn't care, wasn't sure, going through a terrible divorce. And he's at work in a steel mill outside of Pittsburgh, and he cries out to God, if you're really there, show yourself to me. And the roof of the steel mill opened up, and he had a vision of heaven, and he sees all the glory of God. Amen. And he humbles himself and repents and gives his life to Jesus Christ right there. My brother's in the presence of the Lord today. And if he was here, standing here today, there was no way you could convince him otherwise. Because the Alpha and Omega, this foundational level of faith, and this is what God wants. This foundational level, that's where it all starts, that God exists. And if we want to please him, we must come to him on that terms, faith that you exist. He has chosen to reward those who actually, earnestly, diligently seek him. See, faith's foundation is our belief in God. And you can't figure it all out. And that's okay. See, I can't comprehend this, that before anything there was something. Because as a human being, I am so limited by space, time, and our dimensional world in which we live, you know, see it, smell it, touch it, taste it, and so forth. So it's hard for us as humans to go that out there you keep going in space and keep going and going and going. It never ends, because God is the beginning and the end. Hebrews 11:3, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. You can't figure it all out. And the moment you try to say, I got it all figured out, you might as well profess to be God. We can't figure it all out. And that's okay. That's why he says, You want to please me? It's going to involve faith because you can't figure me out perfectly. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. Psalm 53:1, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Why is he a fool? He claims to know everything. I mean, to make this unbelievable statement, there is no God. I know that absolutely. I know that as a fact. That is truth. There is no God. I mean, the audacity of such a statement. That's why David, writing in the Psalms, would say only a fool would say that. Because in essence, you're saying, I know everything. I know what's beyond. And I know what was before anything came into existence. I've got it all figured out, and there is no God. I mean, what fool would make such a statement? And I say that lovingly. I'm not saying that just to condemn. God spoke and the universe came into being. And everything begins with God, His will, His purposes, His goals. It's His story. It's His meta-narrative. It's what He's writing. It is really all about Him. Do you believe that God exists? Are you experiencing that foundational faith in your life? Second level, and I told you that each one of these is a sermon and a book and a chapter in and of itself. Second level is saving faith. Verse 6, by faith Noah became the heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Because of his faith in God, Noah was an heir of righteousness. Righteousness is a very important biblical and theological word. It establishes our relationship to God, the sovereign creator, the Alpha and Omega. It establishes our right standing with God. It's what righteousness is all about. Noah found righteousness through faith. Sometimes I wish I was one of those TV guys, you know. They make big bucks by just saying, now, would you repeat that after me? No, don't do it. I'm not asking you to do it. But, you know, Noah found righteousness. How? By faith. That is a very, very powerful area of how we please God. Saving faith is the faith that brings us into a right standing with God. Now, Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is so very, very clear. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. Don't you dare, and I know none of you will do this, at least I hope none of you will do this, for by grace you have been saved through baptism. None of you would ever do that, right? For by grace you have been saved through communion. For by grace you have been saved through when I lay hands on you and say your sins are forgiven. Well, I hope you would never go there. For by grace you have been saved because you've kept the Ten Commandments. You would never go there, would you? Oh, please don't. Because you'll be violating what God wants. You're giving Him a mop and a bucket. And He wants diamonds, and it's the diamond of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Belief in God's existence is foundational, but if we desire a relationship to God and one that brings His approval, His approved righteousness, we must have faith in who He is and what He has done to us and for us and through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing. I pause for the dramatic effect. Nothing will cause us to become heirs of God's righteousness except by faith through who Jesus is and what He has done. Nothing. That is saving faith. Are you saved? Are you experiencing that what God wants is saving faith? third level of faith that he wants is inheritance faith or resurrection faith or faith for the future. Inheritance faith. Verse 8, and we see this in the life of Abraham. By faith, Abraham would later receive his inheritance. And we don't have time this morning to go into the whole account of Abraham and his journey and all that. And you could read in Genesis and get all the little tidbits of information that you need there. But Abraham, by faith, was given the promised land. And Abraham, by faith, was given the inheritance that he would have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that would number the sands of the sea. I am blessed, and we just found out about a week or so ago that our ninth great-grandchild is due in June. The eighth is due in January. I mean, we are unbelievably blessed. So when we're getting together, I'm going, where in the world are all the, you know, all these kids and all these people? It all started with a kiss when Connie kissed me in front of her mother and dad's house when I was 15. But I'm so glad she kissed me. Wow. But Abraham was given this promise, this inheritance, based on faith. Abraham's future hope and eternal destiny was his faith in God's promise of the inheritance. Don't miss that. Faith in the promise of the inheritance. The promised land and all of his seed was by faith. Now certainly our promised land is not Israel. I don't want to go down a rabbit trail here. And I love Israel, and I think as a country we need to support Israel. But Israel is not our inheritance. You could say amen, that's okay. Our promised land is not America, and I love America. But that's not our promised land. Our promise and the promise of our inheritance is in the resurrection that we will spend eternity with Jesus Christ and God the Father in heaven. That's our promised inheritance. Our promised inheritance is not earthly. It's not temporal. It's heavenly. And it is eternal. It is a coming promise that has been guaranteed by God, by his promise, that we will rise from the dead and we will inherit eternal life in heaven. That is a promise. Amen. It only comes by faith. 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul writes this fantastic passage about the resurrection. Listen to verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. That is a promise to you if you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Our future through faith in Jesus Christ is one filled with hope. Death is not the end. The grave is not the end. We will rise from the dead and we will inherit heaven. This is a faith that takes us into the future. And it gets us into eternity. Very simply put, we do not have to live in fear and in bondage to things about death and dying. Don't get me wrong, I love life. I love life. I'm not afraid to die. You know what probably bothers me most about dying? Is that after I die, my family's still going to be having a great time. You know? And my kids are going to be riding my motorcycles and just, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know? No, just half kidding. But our inheritance is eternal. And again, it's something you can't figure it all out and you can't work it all out. And I got it all. Man, I got my future set, man. I've got it all. I'm thankful for the money that I have in the bank. And I'm thankful for the money that I have in my pocket. And I'm thankful for the money I have in my wallet. It's about $2, so if you want to rob me afterwards. No, I've been noted to lie about my money in my pocket. But my future isn't in what I have in the bank. in my, quote, retirement. We could lose it all tomorrow. Every penny. And don't put your hope in gold or silver. And I'm not saying don't have gold and silver, but don't put your hope in it. Our inheritance is in the eternal promise, and it's by faith of what God has promised us. And this is where this level of faith kicks in. The fourth level, provisional faith or daily living faith. Provisional faith or daily living. Verse 11, by faith Adam, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Abraham was past age of having kids. I don't want to go into the details of what all that means, but I think you can figure it out. And his wife, Sarah, was past the age. She had already been through menopause and, you know, all that stuff. And what a time that is. Mommy, wow. I've been there, you know. But apart from the human side of it here, they can't have a child. And God said, you're going to have children. And you're going to have so many children, it's going to number the sands of the sea, you know. This inheritance, it's going to be yours. And Abraham says, yeah. And if you know the story about Sarah, that's another story. She laughed. She's laughing. I'm like laughing at the angels, God's messengers. But here's, we got to get back on track here about the faith, the provisional faith. Abraham needed a son. And he couldn't produce a son. You understand some things that are in our life that we can't work it all out? We can't figure it all out? We can't provide? That it absolutely has to be on God's shoulders and God's responsibility. And this is where this daily provisional living by faith thing really kicks in. This is what God wants. Abraham needed a son, and there was no way humanly possible that he could provide for that need. But God said, you're going to have a son. God is Jehovah Jireh. He provides what we need. Philippians 4:19, when I write birthday checks to all my kids, grandkids, and now great-grandkids, I write on that little card, Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Needs. God will provide our needs according to his sovereign, perfect will. I hope you believe that. There's so much false teaching going on today in the Christian world. Do not buy the name it and the claim it, the health and the wealth and the prosperity. And God doesn't want you poor stuff. I beg you, don't buy that. And they're out there, they're on TV and they're making a lot of money and they have a lot of followers and they write books and they do seminars and everything, but don't buy that. That is absolutely not biblical. And some of them, they even have this crazy notion that you can go to the Old Testament and quote some promise that God gave to Israel and say, he promised Israel that, so now it's my promise, it's for me. No. I'd love to take them by the neck, and I'm serious. Put them on an airplane and fly them to northern Nigeria and say, now you preach that to these people that are suffering and they have nothing and they just lost their children. They were beheaded by some ISIS group. Now you preach that to them. If there's anything that I get upset, it's over that false kind of teaching. I think you sense that. They pick and choose their theology. I'll pick this. Oh, yeah, that's for me, but that's not for me. I love the ones, and I'm just using this as an illustration about the picking and choosing for prosperity for Israel or some particular person. And now, yeah, it's prosperity for you too, you know. And they'll say, well, I'm just using this as an example. Well, you know, Christians should never cut themselves and have tattoos. Deuteronomy says that, by the way. Deuteronomy says that. To the children of Israel, you're not to cut yourself and have tattoos like the pagans. And that's not the motorcycle gang, the pagans. Those are the idol worshippers. And I go, yeah, look, there it is, man. You can't have a tattoo. It's a sin to have a tattoo. I say, yeah, really, huh? Wow, isn't that nice? How come you, dude, you don't have those long curly hair things like the Orthodox Jews? Because just two verses above it, it says, men, don't cut your sideburns. You get the pick and choose part here? So this matter of provisional faith is where God will meet our needs. Abraham needed a son. And what do we need? Honestly, 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 what do we need? Food, clothing, and shelter. Nothing else. And no, well, I want my shelter to be a 10-bedroom house with a 15-car garage. That's my need. No. Need is determined by God. This is where faith comes in. Abraham needed a son, and God provided a son. Provisional faith is living in dependence upon God's provision, and not what we think we need, but what God knows we need to accomplish his purposes in our lives. I love the book of the story of Elijah in the book of Kings, and the story of the brook and the ravens, and I love to preach on that. And there he is, God provided his need. The house was a little cave by the brook. The water was from the brook. And where did he get his food? The ravens, the scavengers. They brought roadkill, carrion. Maybe it was roadkill, I don't know. Maybe they stole it off the king's table or something. But anyway, that's what Elijah needed and God provided. Do you trust him to meet your needs? Do you trust him to meet your needs? Are you experiencing provisional faith? The last is a tough one. It's this level of faith that God wants. Again, not the mop in the bucket, but the diamonds that he wants that's ultimately for our good. And it's testing faith or trying faith. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac. That's a tough one, isn't it? Abraham offers Isaac back to God. And if you know the story, you can go back and read it. You can read it in Genesis. And he takes him up and there's the sacrifices already. God was testing his faith to see if Abraham would believe that the nation that would rise would be produced by God or would be produced by Abraham. Don't miss that. Would the nation that God promised be produced by Abraham or would it be produced by God? Because if it was produced by Abraham, Abraham would get the credit. And this nation would be the birth of Israel and all of the children of Israel. God was going to get the glory. In verse 19, we have Abraham's genuine faith. Verse 19. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. Okay? You've given me this son, this precious boy that I've seen grow up. And now you want him back. Okay? You've promised the nation. You've promised that I would have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren in this mighty group of people. If you want Isaac dead, I know you can raise him from the dead. Be a nation of people, but it would not be from Abraham. It would be what God provided and what God produced. And God will, and I don't mince words here, God will take us to this level of testing faith. If we want to mature, if we want to please God with the kind of faith that he wants to be see manifest in our lives, he will take us to this level of testing faith. James 1:3. Listen to the Apostle James. Because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And then verse 4 he adds, so that you may be mature and complete. So that you may be mature and complete. so many examples in Scripture. We have Job. You know the story of Job? It's interesting that I have a grandson named Job. I don't know. Do anybody know any Jobs other than my grandson Job? But I'm thankful that that's his name. We call him Joby. But God provides. Hebrews 11, verses 35 through 38. I want you to listen to these words, and I want you to put yourself in the shoes of these people. Others were tortured. Some faced jeers and floggings, chained and put in prison, stoned, sawed in two, put to death, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Again, to pick on the TV hucksters, I've never heard that preached on TV. Now, I have to confess, I don't listen to that TV stuff. So if you've ever heard that passage preached, please tell me, and then I'll apologize. See, that kind of preaching, you don't attract a crowd. Tortured, put to death, jeered, flogged, sawed in two. I mean, anybody, we have any volunteers? What about being beheaded? Testing faith finds out if our faith is genuine and like gold being refined, and that refining process removes the impurities. See, we cannot avoid it. We try, but we cannot. Our loving Heavenly Father knows just what we need, and He will test us, and He will try us, and He will prove us, which is for our ultimate good and His ultimate glory. Do you trust the Lord to test you? It's okay. It's okay when He tests you. And I know, humanly, we don't like it. He didn't say like it. It may hurt. It may be we might lose something. But if we lose something, it's something that we don't really need. He knows exactly what we need. Are you experiencing that testing faith? See, God wants these five levels of faith from Hebrews, and we'll summarize them. Foundational faith, He exists. Saving faith, He saves. Inheritance faith, He gives us hope for the future. Provisional faith, He will meet our needs. Testing faith, He will prove us. Do you have those levels of faith in your life? That's what He wants. Don't give Him a mop and a bucket. Give Him the diamonds of this kind of faith. Let's stand for prayer. Just a moment of quiet. Talk to the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Any particular area of your life that He's dealing with that needs to be surrendered. Any level of faith that He wants to see developed in your life. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your word, the power of Your truth, Your word that's living and sharper than any two-edged sword that penetrates the very joints and marrows and the intent of the heart. Touch us by Your Spirit and for Your glory, Jesus. As we leave here now, let us breathe in Your presence. We praise Your name. Amen. We're dismissed.